Henry Wu wanted to check the data at once, but Hammond had stubbornly insisted Wu accompany him at dinner.
"Now then, Henry, you must save room for ice cream," Hammond said, pushing back from the table. "Maria makes the most wonderful ginger ice cream."
"All right."
Wu looked at the beautiful, silent serving girl. His eyes followed her out of the room, and then he glanced up at the single video monitor mounted in the wall. The monitor was dark.
"Your monitor's out," Wu said.
"Is it?"
Hammond glanced over.
"Must be the storm."
He reached behind him for the telephone.
"I'll just check with John in control."
Wu could hear the static crackle on the telephone line. Hammond shrugged and set the receiver back in its cradle.
"Lines must be down," he said. "Or maybe Nedry's still doing data transmission. He has quite a few bugs to fix this weekend. Nedry's a genius in his way, but we had to press him quite hard toward the end to make sure he got things right."
"Perhaps I should go to the control room and check," Wu said.
"No, no," Hammond said. "There's no reason. If there were any problem, we'd hear about it."
"Ah."
Maria came back into the room with two plates of ice cream.
"You must have just a little, Henry," Hammond said. "It's made with fresh ginger from the eastern part of the island. It's an old man's vice ice cream, but still..."
Dutifully, Wu dipped his spoon. Outside, lightning flashed, and there was the sharp crack of thunder.
"That was close," Wu said. "I hope the storm isn't frightening the children."
"I shouldn't think so," Hammond said.
He tasted the ice cream.
"And I can't help but hold some fears about this park, Henry."
Inwardly, Wu felt relieved. Perhaps the old man was going to face the facts after all.
"What kind of fears?"
"You know, Jurassic Park's really made for children. The children of the world love dinosaurs, and the children are going to delight, just delight in this place. Their little faces will shine with the joy of finally seeing these wonderful animals. But I am afraid I may not live to see it, Henry. I may not live to see the joy on their faces."
"I think there are other problems, too," Wu said, frowning.
"But none so pressing on my mind as this," Hammond said, "that I may not live to see their shining, delighted faces. This is our triumph, this park. We have done what we set out to do. And you remember our original intent was to use the newly emerging technology of genetic engineering to make money. A lot of money."
Wu knew Hammond was about to launch into one of his old speeches. He held up his hand.
"I'm familiar with this, John.
If you were going to start a bioengineering company, Henry, what would you do? Would you make products to help mankind? To fight illness and disease?" "Dear me, no. That's a terrible idea. A very poor use of new technology."
Hammond shook his head sadly.
"Yet you'll remember," he said, "the original genetic engineering companies like Genentech and Cetus were all started to make pharmaceuticals. New drugs for mankind. Noble, noble purpose. Unfortunately, drugs face all kinds of barriers. FDA testing alone takes 5 to 8 years, if you're lucky. Even worse, there are forces at work in the marketplace. Suppose you make a miracle drug for cancer or heart disease, as Genentech did. Suppose you now want to charge $1,000 or $2,000 a dose. You might imagine that is your privilege. After all, you invented the drug. You paid.